Thank you for listening to Cat's Tea and Witchcraft. My name is Fauna, and I am your host. This podcast is for those who are Wiccan, witches, and everything in between. Don't forget to follow the podcast's Instagram page at Cat's Tea and Witchcraft, and you can send an email at catsteaandwitchcraftpodcast@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening to the podcast. Enjoy the episode. Hello, witchy peeps. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 131. Today's topic is another interview, so we don't have a card to go over today, but I do think today's topic will interest you, and I hope you'll forgive me for not having a tarot card to go over 2 weeks in a row. So let's just dive right on into the interview right now. Okay, everybody. So like I said a couple minutes ago, we have another guest today. This one's a little bit special because this is going to go over some topics and maybe some perspectives that we have not had on the podcast before. So I'm going to give her an opportunity to introduce herself.
My name is Mariama, or Mo for short. I'm excited to be here today. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for coming on. As we've been getting to know each other over the past couple of months, we've just been talking about like little things here and there throughout the days and everything. And I just thought your perspective and just people getting to know different people and different traditions and different just ways of life would be valuable, because that's one of the goals of the podcast. It's not just about witches or witchcraft or European traditions or Wicca, which is what I identify with. So I want to continue to expose to as many people as possible to all the different avenues out there and ways of thinking. So I think you will be a very valuable guest to this podcast.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. Thank you again. So how about let's start with what your general practice or spirituality is, and kind of a little bit more of a history about you and maybe what led up to that or what you feel yourself is today.
Sure. So thank you for that question. And that's an interesting question because I feel like I ponder that every day. Mm-hmm. And so for as long as I can remember, I've always learned about different religions because I never felt like I identified as just one spirituality, one practice. And I grew up in a pretty religious family. And so I'm Nigerian by birth and nationality, a proud Nigerian. And I was raised in the Celestial Church of Christ, and which is, to me, it's a sect of Christianity. So like you have Christianity and then you have Catholicism, Lutheran, and all those kinds of different sects. Celestial Church of Christ is a sect. And however, to me, that is kind of a distilled form of Ifa. And so Ifa is a traditional Nigerian practice or religion, particularly Yoruba. So I am of the Yoruba tribe. So I don't necessarily follow one religion or tradition, but if I were to pick one, I'm currently in the realm of Ifa. And so Ifa has been practiced since ancient times, since before Nigeria and Western Africa was colonized by the English and the French. And it has a lot to do with venerating the Orishas, which are like the gods and goddesses in other spiritual practices. And we also venerate Oludumare, which is God or the divine. And it also takes into account ancestor veneration. And so there are a lot of things that I hope we can cover today in our conversation, but that is the nitty-gritty. I also tend to follow the spiritual practice of love, or Sufism. So I'm kind of a blend of all the things, but currently I'm learning about Ifa and working on that path.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And that, like you said, there's probably won't be able to go over everything today because there's a lot that can get into that. And So you grew up in a religious household, and the type of church you mentioned is not one that I have heard of. How would you say that differs from the more modern, maybe, say, an American church would be like? Would you say it's very different, or do you think it'd be similar? Because you said you were raised and grew up in Nigeria.
Yeah. The Celestial Church of Christ, if you are in Nigeria and you are part of this church, there are rules that you follow. And that is why I kind of akin it to a distilled form of Ifa. So if you're here mm-hmm. in the States and you follow this church, you don't have to go as strict on the rules. Mm-hmm. So one of the rules is the church is like a compound mm-hmm. and kind of like churches in the quote unquote olden days. It's a compound and it's a community. So people live there, people come to worship, and you can buy goods there, you sell things. Almost, I don't want to say it's like a seminary or a convent, but something like a community, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you go to Celestial Church, you have to wear a white sutana, which is kind of like your uniform. Mm-hmm. And so you women have to cover their head in a white cap, and you cannot have shoes on outside or inside. So like if you're, there's a gate, and as soon as you cross the gates, you have to take off your shoes mm-hmm. and you carry your shoes. If you go into the main sanctuary, you also have to kind of cleanse yourself with holy water or floral water. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. I went back a couple years ago, or the Christmas before last, and I still remembered all the traditions, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And also at the back of the, towards the back of the compound is more like the sacred space where you can pray, and it is all sand. And so you do a lot of ritual there, especially with candles and doves or birds of some sort. And you get prayer from the shepherd. And within Celestial Church, just like any church, any other church, there are, I don't want to say rank, mm-hmm. but like there is a ranking system where like there's the elders of the church, there's the shepherd, and then there's the flock. So yeah, if you're a Celestial Church member here, I don't believe you have to take off your shoes as soon as you are on the grounds of the church. But as soon as you enter the sanctuary, you do have take off your shoes, you have to cover your head, and it would behoove you to wear white. Mm-hmm.
To me, that sounds significantly different, but terms and stuff that I've recognized and stuff before, but that does sound very, very different than what other people may be used to with their own church experiences. Is this tradition or church just focused more on the Nigerian heritage or culture, or is it a little more widespread for those who may be interested?
If you're interested in the Celestial Church of Christ, the church welcomes everyone and anyone. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter your background or your skin color or anything like that. And just like Ifa, it's for mm-hmm. everyone. There's no discrimination. So if you feel called to learn or visit a Celestial Church of Christ wherever you are, just be open and go in with an open heart. And there's usually food afterwards. So, yeah.
Food draws people in.
I know. And so it's great. So it's a great community. And yeah.
And next question, because this can also differ, even if it's not necessarily closed, is it something that someone can self-invite themselves to, like they can just practice at home, or is it something that you learn within the community and you participate within the community?
It's definitely something that you learn with a community, or if you have a Nigerian friend or someone who is part of the Celestial Church of Christ community, mm-hmm. Or even Ifa community, because you are, I don't want to say referred, But there are rules and regulations and social and community norms mm-hmm. that some people just walking off the street wouldn't necessarily know. So it's helpful to ease that process to have someone with you, especially your first time. But if mm-hmm. you want to learn about it, that's something you can do on your own and like read about it. Or even go on YouTube and learn about it. And that's what I did when I first started on the IFA path. Mm-hmm. And then I got a teacher and mentor to assist me and better instruct me as I advance forward.
Okay, awesome. And so moving on a little bit, what other parts of your life, or how would you say this practice or this spirituality, how do you use it in your day-to-day life? Like, how has it spread and helped you grow as a person?
That's also a great question. IFA, one of the aspects of IFA is knowing your Ori, which means head in Yoruba. Mm-hmm. And it is said that the Ori, when you are born on this planet in this lifetime, your Ori is what guides you. So like your head is what guides you. Your head is what guides you through life. When you get an IFA reading, which I did get my first IFA reading last fall, and it tells you a little bit about yourself and what you should be doing, your taboos, what careers you'll be great in, and just kind of helps you understand the blueprint and framework for this lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so in my life, and I also work with other medicines and other tools and with the plants especially, and everything that I have been shown or told is that I need to assist humanity in this lifetime to get back on the spiritual path. Mm-hmm. No matter what that looks like for people, it is the spiritual path of love and to connect back to divinity and to source, and that we are all connected and all is one. And so in my daily life, after I got that reading, it confirmed a lot of things for me, because I've always known I was different. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know how. And so when I move, or if I want to do anything big, or if I want to release something, I connect it back to that reading and what I've been told is this going to help bring someone into alignment? Is mm-hmm. someone going to resonate with this? And will this help them understand why they're doing what they're doing? Mm-hmm. So that's how I integrate IFA into my life. Every morning, I say good morning to my ancestors. I call on them for everything and anything, particularly my grandma, because she is who I was closest to. And my father also practiced IFA on the side, even though he was a very high-ranking member of the Celestial Church. Mm-hmm. And so that is how I keep it in, bring it in day-to-day.
Okay. You did mention helping people and using plants and herbs and stuff. How do you do that? Do you mind giving a little bit of a breakdown of how you use that technique?
Sure. Plants, they're kind of like my favorite things. So I discovered the plants a couple years ago. I've worked with plants all my life. So the longest one I've worked with is rose. And my name, Moriamo, is the Arabic form of Mary, or the Yoruba form of Mary. I've heard it both ways. And the flower that is associated with Mary is the rose. And so each plant I've learned about and that has come to me to teach me and guide me has helped me heal in not only my physical body, but my etheric body, my energetic body, mm-hmm. and definitely my mental health. So I do work with both entheogens and non-entheogens. which are psychedelics and non-psychedelics.
Mm-hmm.
And where those intersect is really where the healing comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people will akin what I do to, I guess, herbalism mm-hmm. to an extent. But all plants are sacred, right?
Yeah.
And so working with Rose has really helped heal my heart from a lot of heartbreak and open up my heart chakra and open me up to love, and not just romantic love, but loving myself and loving and having compassion for others. Blue Lotus is another favorite, which helps with the third eye chakra and really assists me to connect to the divine. And so I find healing and support from plants such as Rose, Blue Lotus, or Yarrow. Yarrow is what I'm working with right now, and she's been amazing helping me with energy.
Mm-hmm.
Do with that. But even magic mushrooms and ayahuasca. I've done 6 ayahuasca ceremonies,
mm-hmm.
and they've all been very insightful and very helpful. And mushrooms have been an amazing teacher and helping me heal. But what is important to note is that the herbs aren't going to fix what you think ails you. They are merely a tool. And you go to them with veneration and sacredness, and you ask them for wisdom and guidance,
mm-hmm.
kind of like a teacher, a mentor, your spiritual team. It's the same as that, and it's important to truly understand and ask for permission with the plant before working. So yeah, it's plants have truly helped me in a lot of ways, and especially being an Army veteran, mm-hmm. have definitely helped with my PTSD,
yeah,
and the traumas that I've been through in life mm-hmm. and through the military. So
yeah. I'm going to backtrack a little bit from plants, and then we'll come right back around. So with your practice in general, what would you say would be common misconceptions that people may have about it? I feel like people who may be down this path have either heard of terms, even if they don't understand what it is, or somewhere in their research that might have come up. What would some misconceptions be about your spiritual or either your more plant path?
And I hear this all the time, which is crazy. So with IFA or Celestial Church or traditional ancient African spiritual practices, mm-hmm. it's all witchcraft.
Yeah.
Or it's all demonic, right?
Yeah. And not everything's witchcraft and not everything's demonic.
Right? And so when the settlers first got to West Africa and they saw people practicing this religion, because a lot of the veneration is based on animal sacrifice. So you sacrifice chickens, goats, and things like that to show like you're bringing an offering, right? And mm-hmm. in modern times, offerings are with money. But in Ifa, it is with animals. And so people see it as demonic, like blood sacrifice and crazy things. But that's not the case. And even with the plants and the herbs, working with entheogens, people just see it as, oh, you're using drugs.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just trying to get high, which is not the case. Once you accept that these are energetic beings and these also have spirits, because any living thing has a spirit and an energetic body, and you step to them correctly and with veneration and consider them sacred, it's not any type of demonic anything.
Mm-hmm.
Even hoodoo or voodoo, those are not demonic practices. We
yep.
don't Ifa, voodoo, hoodoo, they don't. There is no concept of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't call something demonic if there is no concept of the devil.
Yep.
There's good things. There's light things. So, and those are some common misconceptions.
Yeah.
Honestly, those are the big ones. And some people think like, and you can practice Ifa or come to the Celestial Church and just be a member. You don't have to follow the priestess path or mm-hmm. the priest path. You don't have to be a ranking member of the community. You can literally just be a member and worship and commune, and that's okay.
Okay, thank you. I feel like for a lot of people, that is some good perspective and good updates on what they may have previously thought or maybe just misunderstandings. And I have brought it up in past episodes before. It's like, just because it might be similar to what could be witchcraft doesn't mean everything or everyone is also a witch.
I feel like everything is witchcraft.
It can be. It can be. Everything can be considered. But at the same time, just because it might have something similar to your tradition doesn't mean it's the same as mine, or the vice versa. Not everything can or should be called witchcraft, but it doesn't make it less spiritual or less magical or less valuable. Because you and I, we talk about things that we do are very common or believe in, but my path is very different from yours, and it doesn't mean it'll be called or categorized the same thing, even if there's like some overlaps, because modern days it happens.
Yes. And what I found is that people there's fear and anxiety in things that people don't know or don't understand.
Yep.
And that is something that I hope this podcast changes and getting the message out there changes. Because regardless of what you practice, if you have a connection to the divine, then you're fine. You're good. You don't have to worry about anything. Not everything is witchcraft. You would know if something was witchcraft.
Yeah.
Like, you might just be a poopy human being.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so next part of the last question that I asked, first was misconceptions, and now what would be some cautions on the path that you are currently taking if someone was also interested or learning on it? Or maybe in an earlier phase, maybe what you had been in the past. Like, what cautions would you suggest if it's with plants or just people or just the path in general?
So I'll give a two-part answer. So in the realm of Ifa and any church community with humans, I will caution people, just make sure you have a reputable and knowledgeable teacher or babalawo who is truly in it for mentoring you and teaching you the ways of the practice. Because nowadays, especially with social media and all the things, you have some people who are just trying to make a quick buck. Or because spiritual work is not, I don't want to say is expensive, but it can get expensive, especially if you're in the States and mm-hmm. you're trying to do appeasement to an Orisha, or you're trying to fill your Ifa reading stipulations, you have to probably do a sacrifice. So, which, unless you have your own land, I mean, you can sacrifice whatever you want, but that's kind of frowned upon here.
Yeah, you have to be careful where you live and stuff, and cautions and things just in general, because in some places things are considered illegal and religiously or not, if it is protected under the religious or spiritual umbrella, maybe not all things are. So depending on, I would say just proceed with caution. I'm not saying don't, because I don't know, but just depending on, because everywhere is slightly different.
Yes, everywhere is different. Like, I know in Louisiana, there's a huge Ifa community, and Louisiana does have strong ties to hoodoo and voodoo, and so there is blood sacrifice sometimes, and that's perfectly okay.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in Minnesota and you try to sacrifice a goat, unless you live on a farm, like, and you know the correct scriptures or spells, or what you're supposed to do in the process, you're going to be looked at crazy. So just be careful that you have a reputable babalawo and that you have a strong community and that this is something that you truly want to do. Mm-hmm. In the terms of plans, I would caution people to understand that you're not just going to put some herbs or sprinkle some rosemary on something and then you're healed. And you're not going to just take mushroom trip or have an ayahuasca journey and then everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Like there are processes, and because it is something that is so ancient, and like the Aztecs revered mushrooms, like the ancient Egyptians used blue lotus on the daily, like the ancient Romans used rose for their ailments, but they approached it with offerings to Aphrodite, with offerings to Hathor, with offerings to the serpent god. Mm-hmm. So when you choose what plant you want to work with or you want to start with, there is a ritual and there is a sacred practice. And because you have to come with respect. So you have to understand set and setting. You have to understand intention. You have to understand the ceremony part, and you have to understand integrating those insights in and to have a successful journey. And also, where you get your medicine from is important. Like, who you choose as the keeper of your medicine, just like who you choose as your babalawo, as a teacher, is important. And mm-hmm. I will say, for example, I used to get my medicine from someone in Washington State, and now I get my medicine from someone in Miami in Florida. So the difference between those two is the person in Washington is a man, and there was a lot of masculine energy in that medicine. And the one in Florida, she is of the voodoo lineage, and she works with Bast and some of the Egyptian gods and goddesses. And so her medicine has feminine energy, which is what I mean. Because I was in the army, I had a lot of masculine energy, and I'm an Aries, and all the things, right?
Yeah.
So just be careful that you choose someone who is a keeper of your medicine, of the medicine that really resonates with you and resonates with your intention for going on this path or journey with your specified, or with the medicine that you choose.
Yeah.
If it's mushrooms, if it's Aya, if it's rose, if it's yarrow, if it's lavender, it doesn't matter. Where you get your medicine is important.
Yeah.
So it's best to be mindful of that.
Yeah. Another point, I'll just as people are listening to it, know your body before, and also make sure anything that you will be taking will not counteract any medications that you take and or anything that maybe to your specific body may be harmful. If there's something that you've never tried before and you are not sure you're allergic to it, or you might not have a bad reaction, because what one person has doesn't mean you'll have the same reaction to another person. I'm not saying to not do or to do certain things, but just because I and Mo are not medical professionals, please proceed with caution. What was that?
Oh, heavens no. Nobody's.
So please proceed with caution. I just like to do these when anything is mentioned in regards to eating or taking, just in case, because if you don't, some people are like, well, you didn't say it. I'm saying it now. Always proceed with caution when anything is going to be put on or in your body, consumed, or any other way. So please be smart, because your health may be good, or you may have unknown things, and always don't dive headfirst into something. Please do plenty of research about everything possible, and laws as well. You just never know, because what might be easier in the U.S. or another country might be very hard to deal with in another country. So also just be smart in general.
Definitely. Please use discernment when you go on these journeys. Especially with the plants, please make sure that you do your research. And if you have a dieta, follow that thing to the T. Yeah, and we'll get to that probably in a little bit. I have a resource for folks who would like to walk the herbal path.
So. Okay. Mm-hmm. How about let's dive into that a little bit now. Let's start with, for those who are interested, what sources or what sort of things would you encourage people to do early on in to kind of get their toes wet a little bit on the topic?
Yeah, so first things first, this is an interesting question because I was thinking about it right before we hopped on. And one of my best friends, I love him dearly, like we've been friends for 10 years. Like we're 6 months shy of like our quote unquote 10 year anniversary. And I love him to death. And he asked like, and this pertains to the gifts. I promise there's a full circle. So he was like, he asked, how can I strengthen my gifts? How can I, fully tap into my gift? And I asked him, I was like, well, what's your relationship with the divine or source or God or goddess, whoever you choose? Like, what's your relationship? And I want y'all to sit with that. Because before you go on any path, if you are searching for something, if you're using these spiritual practices or these tools to look for something or someone because it's going to heal you, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate to break it to you. I'll be the bearer of bad news. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
What I will say is, and it's one of my favorite quotes from Rumi, when I was looking for God, I found only myself. Mm-hmm. When I was looking for myself, I found only God.
Yeah.
So truly, before you start any path or any, you start with the herbs, make sure that you have a clear intention and understand why you are going on this path. And it's okay to be like, oh, I heard microdosing is cool and I want to try it. Or Susie went on this Aya ceremony in the jungle and I want to try it. Like, that's perfectly okay. Like, if you feel called to do something, then go ahead and do it. You do decide or figure out what that relationship is, then you'll be able to have clarity on which path to take.
Yeah.
And even now, like, I still research and I'm still studying and things like that. And I found my Babalawo through my voodoo teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And on Instagram, believe it or not, I found herbalism and the sacred plants through my shaman in Washington and my teacher. And so when I first started this path, like in 2019, it was like this, the depths of my soul had been ripped out because my fiance at the time called off the wedding and he cheated. And I was like, what in the world is happening? Like, my whole life is broken. Like, I could not breathe. And I didn't understand what was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that happened, I asked Source, I asked the divine, please send me teachers, guides, and mentors that are for the greatest good of my path.
Yep.
And as soon as that happened, I got podcasts, I got books, I got humans, I got an animal friend, my sister's dog, Avery. And they've all taught me that the only thing that is important is the connection to the divine and the connection and how you love yourself.
Yeah.
So
it's important.
That is one thing. It is very important, because if you don't do that, and you can even totally be on the quest for loving yourself, because we are works in progress. But understand that the work of healing or working through things comes from you. You're not going to slap some herbs on it and then you're healed. You're mm-hmm. not going to slap a sacrifice on it and then you're good.
Yeah.
Because whatever you need to work on, the medicine only amplifies.
Yeah.
So if you are anxious, the medicine will amplify anxiety. If you are depressed, the medicine will amplify depression. Like, I've been super sleepy and tired over like the holidays because it's winter. Spring hasn't sprung, even though we're in 2024. It's not a new year. And so it amplified sleepiness.
Yeah.
And so I told myself, I was like, okay, I'm going to take a spiritual detox. I'm not going to be super into social media. I'm not going to post on social media. And I just needed a break.
Mm-hmm.
And so just please be mindful before you start on the path. Just understand why you're doing it and understand that healing is not for the weak. And you have support in a community, no matter which practice you choose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really important because you'll know when you are really ready. And even if you think you're ready, the readiness or the speed of how things occur might not be as immediate or the way you thought it would be. So definitely trying something new or taking a break. Sometimes you get exhausted or sometimes you feel very energetic, but being mindful of how you are feeling and who you are, or in the journey of finding who you are, if you feel like you don't know, is very important to really understand one way or another.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that.
Yeah. So do you have any specific sources that either books or podcasts or things that you think would be good for people to use?
So as far as African spirituality, the book that kind of like catalyzed it was Of Water and the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
by Maladoma Patrice Somme.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys have ever watched Black Panther, and Black Panther is from the country of Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
So Wakanda is based off of Maladoma's tribe and his heritage and his ancestry.
Oh, that's a fun fact.
Yes. So the advance in technology and the like things disappearing when you go in and out of the country, like they have an invisibility shield type of thing, is talked about in the book. So, so definitely a divine connection where people who believe in magic or believe in other realms, timelines, and dimensions will really get a kick out of this book. And it's the subtitle is Ritual Magic and the Initiation in the Life. And it's well written. It's super phenomenal. It's his personal story.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite parts of the book is when he came to the States. He has like 5 degrees or something like that. And he kept getting degrees, and he understood energetics that when he took tests, he could see the answers in the
aura. Wouldn't that be great? Oh,
right?
My gosh.
He could see the answers in the aura of the instructors. And so that's how he has all these degrees, and he's super well educated. I mean, I'm sure he's brilliant.
Yeah.
But passing these tests, he saw the answers, like the teacher told me.
Yeah.
It's in his aura. It's in his field.
Like, I've heard of people saying they're able to do similar things, not just with like auras, but like when picking cards, you're doing divination or tarot, like you could see what you're supposed to choose.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it also talks about ancestor veneration and mm-hmm. how he got initiated into his lineage, into his spiritual lineage. So I would start with that book, definitely. And honestly, when I started, I just went on Google and I just went down rabbit holes.
Okay.
Google and YouTube.
Okay.
Rabbit holes.
Definitely.
Holes.
So the rabbit holes. Okay.
Yes, definitely. And for the plants, I have a nifty resource on my website, which we will get to, but
mm-hmm.
Also Google. And social media has, even though sometimes it's weaponized and used for evil.
Yeah.
I have curated my feed and algorithm to show me pleasant things as it relates to the plants, and even like plant news
mm-hmm.
and people doing amazing things with plants, like with farms. And like, I learn a lot on social media Instagram is my favorite. TikTok is a close second. Herbalism, hashtag herbalism on Instagram, you'll get a lot of information. Yep. Psychedelic support on Instagram, microdose movement, moms on mushrooms, women on psychedelics is a great one. So there's great resources out there. And as far as podcasts, Psychedelic Entrepreneur by Beth Weinstein. She was instrumental in opening up the world of psychedelics to me. And I say that because even though she's a business mentor for people who lead psychedelic businesses, mm-hmm. she is also talking about the news, like any current governmental legislature that comes out. Mm-hmm.
That's important to know when you're diving down certain rabbit holes or topics.
Yes, any important research that is coming to light. And she always has guests on who are doing amazing things in the psychedelic community. Mm-hmm. Those are definitely the resources that I would recommend for those who are breaking into African spirituality or even wanting to go on the sacred plant medicine path.
Awesome. So before we get going, how about we wrap up with, if you want to make any last minute points or thoughts, even if it wasn't relevant to anything that we've talked about today, and let people know about how they can reach your website you mentioned?
Yes. Last minute thoughts, just please practice discernment. Please take full inventory of where you are currently, not where you were 2 weeks ago, not where you think you'll be in 2 weeks. Where are you currently with all of your hygiene? And what I mean by that is your energetic hygiene and your spiritual hygiene. Mm-hmm. And when you take those inventories, journal, do a voice note. Apple on the iPhone now has a journal app, which is cute because you can voice note right into it. Mm-hmm. Just truly sit down and be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Because this is a personal practice. You're not doing this to impress your partner.
Yeah.
You're not doing this to impress Fauna.
You think it's cool.
Yeah. You're not doing this to impress me. So just make sure it's something you want to do and that you're doing it for you and not because whatever reason, because some influencer is doing it. Right.
Yeah.
And with that, just make sure you have clarity and intention. When you go down these paths, because that is also one of the most important things, is if your intentions are not pure or are not clear, then you're not really putting out the energy of A, learning,
mm-hmm.
B, healing.
Yeah, intention is important. And I know sometimes people all see comments or like, oh, how can I, what spell should I do tonight? Well, what's your intention? Just doing it for the sake of doing it. It's not like you're just doodling on a piece of paper and maybe something cool might happen out of it.
Yeah. And even when you're mixing herbs or when you're cooking, like if you've ever, think about this example, when you taste really good food that is just an explosion of flavor in your mouth and you know what that dish is for you, imagine the love and intention that went into cooking that dish for you.
Yeah.
That is the exact same thing. If you're mixing your herbs like you're going to do a spell, you better pray over it. Like use Psalms. You better pray over whatever herb mix you're going to do, how you're going to dress your candle, when you're going to make your veve. Right? Like intention and prayer and your energy, your ashe, we call it,
mm-hmm.
Is going into your work. Is going into your healing, is going into whatever you create. So just be mindful of that. And I can help you with that on my website. She's cute. I'm more so geared towards the sacred plants. And mm-hmm. so all the research for you, and I'm still learning, so there's going to be regular updates.
Yeah.
It's still a work in progress, and so we'll have blogs coming soon and some courses coming soon, but I do have a few services and offerings, and for those who choose the plant medicine path, And one of them is we can figure out what plant you want to work with together. So it's just to book a free consultation. And from there, whenever you decide you want to commune and be in ceremony with the plant, then we can work on the preparation side of things. And we can also work on the integration side of things, because integration is important. And oftentimes I see people go to ceremony after ceremony and ceremony, and they're like, okay, rosemary not working. Okay, blue lotus not working. Okay, I'm just going to try chamomile, and then I'm going to try mint. And then, no, like the integration part of the process is when you get home from a trip, you pull your car into the garage, you close the garage, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's something we can help you with as well. And we have fun goodies in the apothecary to also help your healing.
Yeah.
We have a few ebooks to support your journey. We have spiritual oils and baths, are all made with love, care, and intention, and they do sit on my altar.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have my lineage and my line in them, and the power of my line in them. And we have body butters coming soon. And eventually we'll have one-on-one protocols, because I'm not a fan of Western medicine, but I feel like that could be another episode.
Yep.
We'll be able to heal you in the way that is tailored to you, and not just you take a pill and then the pharmaceutical company gets money, the doctor gets money, and then you don't have any money. So, that's all I got. And I'm also on Instagram, if you're on Instagram, yep. And where I'm posting reels and fun facts and educational content. So,
what is the name of your website, and what is your Instagram handle?
So my website is www.alchemicflow.com. So alchemic spell alchemicflow.com.
Mm-hmm.
And my Instagram is alchemic.flow.
Awesome. Easy. Yeah. They're the same.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to get things to match.
Yeah, it is. And, Instagram. There's just so many people on Instagram that I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm on both those platforms. I may not venture, and if I do, you guys will be the first to know about it. So sign up for the newsletter and join the Sanctum.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on the podcast. I think this had a lot of good topics and information that a lot of people are going to be interested in, what some people may needed to hear, and just a new topic that we have not had in over 130 episodes. So I appreciate all the new insight that you've been able to provide me and the listeners.
It's been a pleasure, Fauna. Thank you so much for inviting me. And
Thank you.
We can do this again.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So if you ever have any fun topics you want to talk about, even if it's just a singular one, go ahead and let me know and we can bring you back on.
For sure. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
So thank you, everybody. Like I say every week, I appreciate every single one of you. Have a great one. Blessed be.
Bye.